Scripture reading this morning before the lesson shall be from Mark chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. And it reads, "Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. When they had come, they said to him, 'Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?' But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, 'Why do you test me? Bring me the denarius that I may see it.' So they brought it. And he said to them, 'Whose image and inscription is this?' They said to him, 'Caesar's.' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' And they marveled at him."
What a blessing it is to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth, to be able to come together as the people of God. Those who are visiting with us want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guest, and we are thankful, very thankful, to see everyone. When we consider what we've been talking about all year, we have been talking about the authenticity of the truth. And when we think about the authenticity of the truth, we consider that which is noble, that which is right. When we consider the word authenticity, it's a concept in which a person's actions are in harmony or agreement with their beliefs and their desires, despite external pressures to conform to anything else. It reminded me of Micaiah in the Old Testament, who, when he was being pressured to speak like the other prophets, he said something very interesting in 2 Kings 22, verse 13 and 14. He said, "That what the Lord has spoken unto me, that shall I speak." And it caused me to think about authenticity. It caused me to think about being honest. Because the apostles had the same attitude when they were being pressured to speak, or not to speak rather, about Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. And they said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." When we consider some synonyms of authenticity, let me give you a few to consider before we get into our text. When we consider some synonyms, I want us to be thinking about words like bona fide, certifiable, genuine, honest, real, true, and right. When we consider some antonyms, you think of bogus, fake, false, phony, pseudo, unreal, unauthentic, and counterfeit. When we think about these particular synonyms and antonyms, it's important for us to understand that as we go further into our thought process on tonight. And the reason, this morning, tonight. And the reason why is because when we consider the truth of God's word, the truth of God's word ought to produce those authentic mentalities and ideas and thought processes that will help us identify with Jesus Christ. We live in a world today where being authentic has a badge of honor, but one can be authentic and not be right. We want to be authentic, but identify with God. When I consider some identifiers that are associated with being authentic, one is integrity. Another is transparency, value, vulnerability, genuine, responsibility. You think about these words, and I want you to be considering these, especially as we consider Mark chapter 12. Because as I was pondering and thinking about the life of Christ and how he is looked at as one being authentic, and no wonder, because he is God in the flesh. No wonder, because he is the Word. But it's interesting when others see that. It's interesting when even those who aren't authentic or real can see that. In Mark chapter 12, I want to read in your hearing for emphasis' sake so we can make some application. And I want to just use a section of this pericope of Scripture. A section, because I'm not really interested in the paying of the taxes, Caesar. I'm not interested in that as relates to this study. But I am interested in how the Pharisees and the Herodians saw Jesus. Ryan, did you hear that? So we want to be interested in how the Pharisees and the Herodians saw Jesus. And this ought to help us as relates to the authenticity of truth. And so when we begin making application in our lives, then when we have people who identify or who are like the Pharisees and the Herodians, if they see us the same way, that's also a badge of honor. Then they sent to him, verse 13, some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. When they had come, they said to him, "Teacher," now listen to these words, "we know," they didn't think, "we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men," meaning you don't show favoritism, "but teach the way of God in truth." Now, that's what I want us to look at real quickly, because when you think about what these people said and you consider the theme of this year, we have been talking about truth all year long. That's all we've been talking about. Did you think we could really speak a whole year on just the subject of truth? And we still have a whole bunch of more months to go. Bad English, but good understanding. We think about what these individuals were thinking, and I want us to make some observations. Number one, they say, "We know you are true." Number two, "You are not partial to people." Now, the very fact that Mark records care about no one, let me fix that some, because someone can look at that and say, well, Jesus doesn't care about people. Acts 10 and verse number 38 demonstrates something different. And so that means that what we may think this passage is saying is not actually saying that. The idea there is that God or Jesus doesn't play favoritism. That's the regard right there. Because in Acts 10 and verse number 38, Jesus went about doing good. And there's no partiality within God whatsoever. They also noticed that his teachings were in the way of truth, verse 14. But notice Luke's account. In Luke chapter 20, take notice of what Luke has to say and what he records. In Luke chapter 20, we see something very interesting as well. And verse number 21, this is what Luke brings out. Then they asked him, saying, "Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly, and do not show personal favoritism, but teach the way of truth." So we already see that these individuals see that Jesus Christ is one who is authentic. He is truthful. He cannot be identified with those who speak lies or those who speak with dishonest gain in mind. He is not that type of person. All right, let's notice some more observations. Go to Matthew chapter 22, and I'm glad to hear the Bible pages turning because that's encouraging. You may have an electronic device. That's fine, too. Notice Matthew 22 and verse number 15. In Matthew 22 and verse number 15, we have the same account here. Now, notice these observations, because these observations are very, very important. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they may entangle him in his talk. They plotted. They was plotting against Jesus. Now go to Mark chapter 12 and look at verse number 13. In Mark chapter 12 and verse number 13, notice. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and Herodians to catch him in his words. Now look at Luke chapter 20 and verse number 20. And let's look at these observations, because it's very important as we think about what is Jesus going through and was he really authentic? Did he authenticate himself or did others authenticate him? In verse number 20, so they watched him and sent spies, watch this, who pretended to be righteous that they might seize on his words. Three different observations from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of them are pretty much saying the same thing. However, you see the idea of these people, the Pharisees and the Herodians. Now, I want us to notice another observation, but this is from Jesus's perspective. Go back to Matthew 22 again, and we pick up Jesus's perspective on how he saw them, on how he saw them. Now, if we consider some of these words, Jesus being authentic, being real, being genuine, one who does not have any falsehood within his heart. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 18, Jesus perceived their wickedness. That's interesting. He perceived, which also demonstrates that one can perceive wickedness. One can identify wickedness. We live in a world today where people say you can't identify wickedness. You can't call that right or wrong. Well, that's inauthentic. Why? Because Jesus said we can, and he did. Look at Mark chapter 12 and look at verse number 15. In Mark chapter 12 and verse number 15, notice what our Lord says here. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 15. But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, why do you test me? Now, notice, he noticed their hypocrisy. He knowing their hypocrisy. Now, look at Luke chapter 20 and verse number 23. Luke chapter 20 and verse number 23. It's a great study. I'm talking about a powerful study. And for us to be considering these things. Now, notice, in verse number 23, Luke records, but he perceived their craftiness and said, why do you test me? Now, this tells me a few things. Number one, it tells me that you can identify wickedness, you can notice hypocrisy, and you can tell what craftiness is. But what is wickedness? Wickedness is the idea of evil purposes. Hypocrisy is play acting or pretending. Craftiness is being cunning and false wisdom. You can identify those things. Jesus identified those things, and all of these were contrary to who he was as being the Christ. And when we consider these things, they are identifiable. Yet those who had these ideas and mentalities and lifestyles were able to see someone who was opposite of them. Did you get that? Now, that's interesting, friends. Why is that important? Number one, Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. If we're not careful, even as the people of God, the world can influence us to begin doubting what is real and not real, what is true and not true, what is authentic and what is not authentic. That's just the way you see things. No, the reason why we have been talking about truth all year is because of what took place in 2020. And it's finally starting to come to fruition through different sources that the things that we saw in 2020 were not actually true. We're starting to see that, which makes sense that when you consider what Moses said a long time ago in Numbers 32 and verse 23, he said, be sure that your sin will find you out. And so when we consider truth and the authenticity of truth, the genuineness of truth, here we understand that it can be identified, it can be observed, and the ones who are actually being wicked and hypocrites and crafty can also see authentic people. For these individuals saw the authenticity of Jesus Christ. And so I want to take this thought right here from their vantage point, and I want us to speak for a couple of minutes on the authenticity of truth, which promotes honesty. Honesty. Friends, the world needs more honest people. The church needs more honest people. When we consider honest behavior, I want us to be thinking real quick. Brother Stephen, go ahead and put up point number one. I'll get there in a minute. Number one, I want us to be thinking, God is always truth. Always, always. You don't ever have to doubt God, ever. Exodus 34, verses 4 through 6, God is truth. Jesus made the claim in John 14, verse number 6, I am the way, the truth. Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit, called him the Spirit of truth. Jesus would say something about the word of God in John 17, 17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then the church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. And then there is no lie of the truth. 1 John 2 and verse 21. Brother Mike, why do you bring those passages up? Because as soon as you begin to give ground on truth, you've already accepted the lie. Amen. You've already accepted the lie. Friends, we have to be careful to always be a people who prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, which means that it takes time to examine the truth, not just biblical truth, friends, all truth. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what subject we're talking about. If we're talking about COVID-19, if we're talking about a job, if we're talking about dating, if we're talking, I don't care what you're talking about. You're talking about the vaccine. I don't care what you're talking about. Examine everything. The reason why? Because God says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. And so if you examine it and find it to be false, it's not of God. If you examine it and find it to be true, it is of God, period. Because all truth comes from God. Every last bit of it. That's why 2 plus 2 is 4. Not like in Oregon where 2 plus 2 can be 3 or 5. That's false. And the reason why? Because it can be proven. And so when I stop and I consider the authenticity of truth, the word of God applied properly with the correct attitude develops excellence. It develops nobility. It develops moral goodness. It develops piety. And friends, we need more of these in our lives today. Point one, those who are authentic, they pray like David. They pray like David. Brother Ryan, I appreciate you reading Psalm 111, verse number 19. Because God did send redemption unto his people. Holy, now watch this, friends, holy and reverend is his name. Man doesn't have the right to attach reverend to his title. Let me say that one more time. Man does not have a right to put reverend in front of his name. And the reason why? He hasn't sent redemption unto nobody. Holy and reverend is his name. I hate to stand before God with reverend in front of my name. I had some smart aleck brother tell me one time, well, when you look at that in the Hebrew, it means awesome, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't care if you put awesome in front of it. He hasn't sent redemption unto nobody. Man can't send redemption to nobody. Only God can send redemption. That's free. You ain't got to give me nothing for that. Number one, those who are authentic pray and respond like David. Look at Psalm 51. Because when you think about what the Pharisees and the Herodians were doing and how they saw Jesus, you are a man of truth. You are a man that teach of God and you teach truth. You show no favoritism. That's very interesting. But here we find a person who is very honest, David. Yeah, we know he made a mistake by sinning with Bathsheba. And he did sin with Bathsheba, and he did sin against Bathsheba. And he also sinned against Uriah, which was one of his mighty men. But this man here was so powerful that when he was rebuked by Nathan the prophet in 2 Samuel chapter 12, this is what we get out of this. In verse number 1, he cries out to God, "Have mercy on me." Then he says, "Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression." It sounds like someone who is authentic. Someone who saw who he was based upon the standard and the word of God. But we also see something in verse number 5. He says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth, where? In the inward part, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom." The inward man, Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, Romans 7, verse 22. Then he says, "Purge me, wash me, make me to hear joy and gladness. Hide your face from my sin." Friends, did you hear that, brothers and sisters in Christ? You think about being authentic, being real, being genuine. This is a person who fits the bill, makes a mistake, yeah, but he gets it right. And when I consider how we ought to be authentic in going out to the world and demonstrating this, that it's all right to tell people, "I made some mistakes, I've done something wrong, and it's okay to say I'm sorry." And here we find in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me." Verse 12, "Restore the joy of your salvation." Friends, I don't know how much more honest a man can get when he's confronted by truth. The Herodians and the Pharisees, they saw Jesus, something different about this man. He didn't show any favoritism, which implies that perhaps people that they were dealing with showed favoritism, didn't teach all of the truth. Not Jesus. This man here falls by the wayside concerning the standard of the word of God, yet we find him coming back to the standard. Notice 2 Kings 22. Let me show you someone else. He didn't sin against God, but he was born into a situation. Talking about Josiah, verses 18 through 20. You remember he was a young king. And you remember the book of the law was found. I guess he's about 22, 26 in that age. Very young man. But it's interesting that when the book of the law was found, it was read, and notice his response to the book of the law. And it caused me to think something. When God's word is being taught, when God's word is being preached, when God's word is being read, how do I respond to it? I'm talking about me personally. How do I respond to it? How do I respond to God's word? Here in verse number 18, "But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him." Watch this. Now, this is God as he is speaking concerning Josiah and his response to the word of God being read. They haven't found the word of God. The word of God was lost. It's interesting that the word of God was lost inside of the temple. One thing you don't want to do is lose your Bible inside the church building. Can't find it. Take your Bible home and read it. Notice what he says. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the word which you have heard, because your heart was tender." He was honest. He was genuine. Here, Josiah was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes. You wept before me. "I also have heard you, saith the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Your eyes shall not see all of the calamity which I will bring on this place." So they brought back word to the king. Friends, did you hear that? Because of his response to the word of God and the authentic heart that he had, the honest heart that he had, friends, he benefited. And we will benefit. Now, I want you to take a quick glance at what was just said. There was calamity coming on Judah. Jerusalem was going to be besieged by King Nebuchadnezzar. Here he tells them to tell Josiah that you won't experience none of that. Watch this point here. When I think about the wrath of God and how God is going to destroy the earth and all of the evil that is associated with it, Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to get us and we're not going to experience none of that. Wow. But you got to be authentic. You got to be transparent. You got to be genuine. When you make mistakes, just make it right. Number two, Brother Stephen, those who are authentic allow truth to bring forth fruit. Real short point. In Luke 8:15, turn your Bible there real quick. Because as I was thinking about the Herodians and think about the Pharisees was the strictest sect of the law. And so they were men who really tried to do what was right. They had some hangups, and Jesus would call those hangups out. Matthew chapter 23 with the scribes and the Pharisees. And the Sadducees. In verse number 15, take notice of what our Lord and Master has to say concerning the word of God and the seed and the production of the seed and who would benefit from it. He says, but the ones that fell on good ground are those having heard the word with an honest. Now, notice the word order here. An honest and good heart. You'll find good brethren and say, well, you have to have a good and honest heart. The word order is very important. You got to have honesty before you have good. And so you have to have an honest and good heart. And it ought to make us consider if the word of God is going to really take course in our lives and we're going to bear fruit unto God, Romans 7 and verse number 4, with patience, then I got to be honest. And so when I hear the gospel being taught and I hear what God's word has to say, whether it is on subjects like marriage, divorce, and remarriage, Matthew 19, 1 through 12, and we can spend hours on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Whether it's on homosexuality and can I stay in that and be right with God, or must I come out of that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9 through 11, and such were some of you, been washed, been sanctified, been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Which tells me that once a sinner, not always a sinner, Brother Chad, I can come out of sin. I can actually do that which is right before God. Well, what about fornication? What about living together? What about these things? How do I handle these? Can I come out of these things and be right with God? The answer is yes. How about relationships? The relationship between the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, Genesis 2, 26 through 24 through 26. Friends, we stop and we think about these things, and God is teaching us that if I'm going to make any changes, I got to be honest and I got to be good. I got to be honest and I got to be good. I can't play with God. You notice I didn't say play church. I can't play with God. The Herodians and the Pharisees, they were playing with Jesus. How do you know, Mike? Jesus called them out for their wickedness, their hypocrisy, their craftiness. They were trying to catch him. They were pretenders of righteousness. Pretenders? Can you imagine being called a pretender of righteousness? The Herodians and the Pharisees, the ones in whom Jesus was talking to, was pretenders of righteousness. I don't want to be called that. And so when I think about being honest, I think about being genuine and being real, the oneness of the church, the necessity of baptism into Christ, Romans 6, 1 through 4. And friends, it's still necessary. Eternal life with God or without God, 2 Thessalonians 1, heaven and hell. There are some, even in the Lord's church, that really don't believe in hell today. Jesus spoke about hell more than he spoke about heaven. Now, that's interesting, Brother Royce. He spoke about a place where he would never dock the doors more than a place where he is living right now. Now, that's an amazing thought process. To handle these subjects, one must be honest and one must have a good heart. Well, what about the other soils that Jesus brings up in Luke chapter 8? My view on those other soils, is that when one has a rocky ground, a stony ground, or a wayside ground, that those soils can actually be cultivated. They can be tilled. They can be worked with. Just because a person is hard-hearted or stony or rocky, got distractions in their lives and things of that nature, doesn't mean that the right person, Proverbs 11 and verse number 30, doesn't mean that the righteous teacher can't go in and help that person take the rocks out, take the stones out, break up the fallow ground. I believe it's Jeremiah chapter 4 or 5. Sometimes people look at the parable of the sower and say, well, only one ground is good, 25%. No, all ground can be worked with. Just got to work with the ground. Do we give up on people too easy and too quickly? Well, they don't want to hear the gospel. Friends, let's not do that. Let's keep working with people. They may have a lot of things in their lives that you got to slowly help them get out, but you can get it out of them, especially if you can get them to a point where they're no longer rocky and stony and wayside ground, and now they're honest and good. Man, that's a powerful convert right there. Next point, point three. When we consider being honest and authentic, it promotes authenticity and honesty in the Lord's church. When I consider this particular point, I just want to make one little observation. Look at Philippians 4. One observation as I was thinking about how can this point help us this morning. In Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse number 4, ending at verse number 9, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation or gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is near. He's near to help. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Notice those three things. You think about being authentic, about being honest, how it promotes authenticity. Friends, when one is actually going to God the way that they need to, it's going to help you to be honest. It's going to help you to be authentic, to really cast your care, to be transparent with God, being anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanks. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Watch this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, notice, think on these things. The person that is thinking on the right things, the spiritual things, the godly things, us, it helps us to be more transparent, honest, genuine. And people can see it. And people who think on these things can actually see those who are not. I find it interesting that people will tell you, well, don't judge me. You can't judge me. John 7:24, we judge righteous judgment. The righteous judgment is based upon the word of God. And so based upon the word of God, I'm able to see certain things. It always baffled me when I was a kid. Mom said, I know what you're doing, boy. She did. She was always two steps ahead of me. You know, good parent is a couple steps ahead of their kids. But you got to get in that word because it's crafty. The world is crafty. The world is wicked. Does it mean I don't allow my children to be around them? No, I'm not saying that. But if you do allow them to be around them, you got to be two steps ahead of the game. Young people, you hear going to school, you've got to be two steps ahead of sinners. You have to, because the next thing you know, you'll find yourself doing things, thinking things that are opposite of Philippians 4 and verse number 8. You got to find yourself meditating on the word of God, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 176. You got to meditate on God's word. You got to be two steps ahead. If not, you'll get caught up. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you can't be conformed to this world. And so when we stop and we consider these things, friends, we got to be two steps ahead. Got to be thinking. Why? Because authenticity should promote honesty, and it should promote us meditating on the Word of God. Look at verse number 9. Paul would say, these things you learned and received and heard and saw in me. I'm an example, he says, and the God of peace will be with you. You do these things. Brother Mike, you just don't know how hard it is to be honest. It's hard for everybody until you train yourself in righteousness. Then it becomes easier and easier and easier. And this is what we ought to be cultivating. And every single day, Luke 9:23, the Bible teaches us to examine ourselves. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice this verse. Brother Royce was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 30. But look at verse number 31 and 32. For if we would judge ourselves, friends, it takes honesty to do that. It takes integrity and genuineness to look at who I am before I stand before God in the assembly. Because if I don't, God, Paul, by inspiration, is saying you're doing damage to yourself. You're doing this to yourself. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord. An honest person is going to judge themselves and see, this is what I need to work on. This is what I need to develop. I need to do this and do this. And God is pleased with me when I do that. God is pleased when people judge themselves. And then you won't be condemned with the world. There's that judgment right there. Powerful point that Paul makes there. Next point. Remember the point that we made about Jesus perceiving the pretenders of righteousness? Well, when we think about perceiving the pretenders of righteousness, don't get caught off guard when people realize that you got their number. Okay? Don't be caught off guard when you call people out for who they are. And be thankful, Proverbs 9 and verse number 8, when people call you out for who you are, especially if it's something that you have to fix. Some of my best critics are the ones that I cherish. Sometimes close friends won't even tell you the truth about who you are. A real good friend will tell you, man, you need to work on that. Amen. But sometimes it takes those who don't like us to really tell us who we are. And we don't like that. I know y'all don't like that point. It's still true. I want to show you something real quick. Look at Romans 12, verse 17. Royce, get 2 Corinthians 8:21. Ryan, get 1 Peter 2, verse 12. I want y'all to read that at the appropriate time. Watch this. In Romans 12 and verse number 17, notice what the Bible here says. Our authenticity, our genuineness ought to be seen. Seen by who? He says, repay no man evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. All men. Well, I don't really care what people think. No, you got to. We need to care what people think. Why? Because we are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're the city that's set upon a hill. We're supposed to be the authentic ones in the world that we live in. Royce, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 21, what does the Bible say? See, now Paul, the same one that wrote Romans 12, 17, he adds God in there. So we're not just providing things that's honest in the sight of the Lord, but also men, but also the Lord. So we got a couple of things going on here. When we are authentic and genuine and real and transparent, we need to be like that in front of God and man. Amen. That's difficult. because men can see us as one thing, but God, as he shines the light upon us, sees something different. But don't take that negative, friends. Take that positively. Why? Because you can have some people who say, well, you know, you're the scum of the earth. But God says, no, you're the light of the world. Brother Ryan, go ahead and read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 12. What does the Bible say?
Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, they shall behold, glorify God as they.
Now notice this. Because of your lifestyle and how it is among the Gentiles, among those who are in the world, you know, on that day of visitation, that day of judgment, well, that's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. Hopefully, they'll see your good works and say, you know what, I want to change my life. I want to change my life. Next point. When we consider those who are authentic, they develop themselves before God and man. Before God and man. I want us to be thinking about something. Look at the examples you see on the board, on the screen. And as I was thinking about this, we have examples of people who took God's word seriously. They developed themselves mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. They were a great moral people, great moral stature before God and man. The Bible teaches us about Enoch. He was honest. He was genuine. And for 365 years, watch this point, 365 years, this man walked with God. 365 years. That's a long time to be walking with the Lord. That's a long time to walk with God. And the Bible teaches us that God took him. In the Hebrew, it literally means God fetched him. He fetched him. The old people back in the day said, go fetch me a pail of water. You remember that, brother? Go fetch me a pail of water. Yeah, he go like this. Remember that. Go fetch me a pail of water. Now we just go to the kitchen. Some of us just go get bottled water. He said, go fetch me some water. Here, God fetched Enoch. Got him, brought him up. That's interesting, friends. This man developed himself. He walked with God, which demonstrates an amazing commitment. An amazing commitment. Nathanael was commended by Jesus as one who did not have any guile. John 1:47. An amazing compliment. We have an amazing commitment. We have an amazing compliment. Then we have Jesus in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 22, who was not deceptive, neither was there guile found in his mouth. Here I say that's an amazing character, amazing character. But look at Psalm 32. In Psalm 32, the first two verses, come across David again. I found this very interesting that he would say this. Because when you think about being authentic, being real, being genuine, being transparent, there are people that just hide things, but you're not hiding anything. The world is always trying to hide things, and now they're coming out of the closet and the church is hiding. Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now watch this. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit, his mind, his heart, his soul, there is no deceit. No deceit. Here, this is an amazing contrition right here. Amazing contrition. Now, I want us to ponder this for a second, because, again, the Herodians, the Pharisees, and how they saw Jesus, they saw him well. They did. But the way that Jesus saw them was totally different. It was totally different. Question, before we get to our final point, how do you see Jesus? How does Jesus see you? I think that's an interesting question. Sometimes you can ask yourself that question and leave and feel pretty good. Some days, not so much. Doesn't mean you lost. Doesn't mean that you're going to be in a devil's hell throughout eternity, but it does mean you just need to grow in that area. It's okay. It is okay to grow. And it's okay to say that I need help in that area. That's okay. That's okay. And it's okay to be authentic and real and genuine. That's okay. In a time where you look at Facebook and how people want to portray something online, but in reality, in actuality, there's someone else. And God is saying, no. Flip that. Show people who you really are. And show people who I see you to be. And so the very fact that Jesus can look at the Herodians and the Pharisees, Brother Royce, and call them what he called them, and then look at Nathaniel and call him what he called him, demonstrates that God can see us in the right light. And that people can please God. And friends, we can. And so when we think about the authenticity of truth, genuine and transparent, well, Brother Mike, you don't understand the world that I live in. You live in the same world we live in. Just be real, but be real with God so you can be real with man. Last point, Brother Stephen. Those who are authentic provide society with the message of honesty and genuineness. Wow. One passage I want to look at, and that's Philippians 2. Got two up there, but I'm going to give you one. Philippians 2. We discussed this a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know how y'all felt about it. I know my thoughts on it. There are differing ideas, but I believe that the Bible is right. He says, we can add verse 14, do all things without murmuring and complaining. Watch 15. In order that you may become blameless. Proverbs 11 and verse number 20 is a good passage there. Blameless. Is it possible to be blameless? Of course it is. Is it possible to live your life in front of people that they can benefit from your life because you're walking according to the Spirit's teaching, Romans 8, 1 and 2? Is it possible? The answer is just not just a good person, but a spiritual person. Spiritual. One that is walking according to God's word, spiritual. One that talks spiritual. One that lives spiritual. One who is authentic and genuine, blameless, which means that if a person is blameless before God, they will go to heaven. And the only way that one can go to heaven, they got to be sinless. Yeah, I know we struggle with that. But I believe that wholeheartedly. It doesn't mean you don't sin. It means you get it right. Amen. You get the sin right. If a person can be baptized into Christ, come out of the water sinless, then why can't a person live their life acknowledging who they are before God, making a mistake, acknowledging the sin, getting it right? Therefore, blameless. Blameless before God. One cannot bring an accusation against you, a charge against you, Romans 8, 31 through 39. Friends, think about that. Let's stop thinking like sinners and think like saints, because that's what we are. We're Christians, we're saints, we're people of God, blameless and harmless, children of God without fault. Hold on, Paul, you can't say that, because the world tells me I'm a sinner, and I tell myself I'm a sinner, and we're all sinners. No, we're not. He says, no, we're not. Be authentic. Tell people, yeah, I struggle, but every morning when I get up, I ask God to help me with my transgressions and help me with my faults and help me with my weaknesses. Every morning, every night before I go to bed, I go to God and thank him for another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. When I was a kid, Mama used to send us to our room. All right, you say your prayers. We sit by the side of the bed, put our hands together. Remember like it was yesterday. And we used to say this prayer, now lay me down to sleep. I lay my head down, my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Then we used to say, God bless mama and God bless daddy and God bless the mailman and God bless the trash man. And you know, honest hearts did stuff like that. Y'all smile. Y'all look so mad, mean. I'm trying to help y'all. I really am. It just looks so mad. sucking on lemons and persimmons. Friends, we are a blameless people, and we're going to be with God throughout eternity, but you got to be authentic. But what if I'm not authentic? Then become authentic. Just become authentic. And if you got to make some things right with people, then just make it right. Because there's only one thing we want to hear, and that's well done. On Friday, it's good to see Sister Lois and Sister Marilyn. We love y'all. It's good to see y'all here. It's one of the easiest funerals to preach that I've probably ever done, knowing that a man was faithful to God. You ain't got to get up there and try to make up stuff. It was all just naturally said. Why? Because these are things that was correlating with the Word of God. That's the way I want my funeral to be. Don't get up there lying, because if I'm docking the doors of hell, there ain't nothing you're going to say to make everybody feel good about it. Amen. Now, I'm talking about Mike Bonner. I ain't talking about none of y'all. I'm talking about me. But here's the truth of the matter, friends. Be authentic. Be genuine. Be transparent. Be real with everybody. And it's all right to tell people none of your business. Y'all get that later on. Just because someone asks you a question, don't mean you got to answer. If you're not a child of God, I was going to say something, but that was going to be a third lesson. I better not do that. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Here is the authentic gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved today, you got to obey the gospel. I know what's being said out in the world. Accept Jesus in your heart. Say the sinner's prayer. Do this, do that. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What am I believing, Lord? You're believing the gospel. God, what is the gospel? It's the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ. Why is that the gospel? Because that's the way God put it. The power of God to save us in the gospel, Romans 1 and verse 16. Well, I don't believe that baptism is essential for salvation. Do you believe that the blood of Christ is essential for salvation? Because the only way you can come in contact with the blood is being baptized. Why? Because God put blood in baptism. That's where he put it. So you can ask Jesus in your heart all day long, as much as you want to, but you'll never be saved. And then God does something amazing. He puts you in the church. What church? He don't put you in the Catholic church, the Baptist church, the Methodist church. He don't put you in Muslim faith, Buddha. He don't put you in none of that. He puts you in the church of Christ. That's it. That's all he puts you in. People are playing. Well, I don't see it like that. It don't matter how you see it. How does God see it? He's the one that's doing the saving. We need more authentic preachers and preaching, and stop messing around and playing with people. Do you want to be saved? That's the only question. Do you want to be saved? If you want to be saved, this is what you got to do. Be faithful. And God will do something amazing on that day. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to say, well done. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. I'm so glad for you to be here. And everybody goes into glory at the same time. Well, that's just the way you see it. No, that's Bible. And we need more men that's going to stand flat-footed and just tell it like it is. Because the times in which we live in, it seems as if the devil has more courage than the people of God. No. In the Church of Christ, in 9th and Main, this is the way it is. And at any time, you don't want it to be that way. I'm Audi 5000. In other words, I'm leaving. Because I can't have it no other way. And we got people playing with the gospel. But on that great day when Jesus Christ comes back, if you obey the gospel, you'll be glad that you obeyed it. Because a day of wrath is coming. And we got too many preachers don't want to preach the wrath of God. God is love. Mm-hmm. But God also says something about himself. I'm a God of wrath. Can't take those words out of his mouth. He said it. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.